I suspect that as much as anyone here, I thank God for all the ministers of our church. I thank God for the Hammond Baptist Grade School. I love to go down there. I don't very often, but I love to go down and walk in the halls. And can you hear quietness? You can there. And hear the quietness. No rowdy behavior. In fact, nobody can even talk in the hall. I said, good morning. Mr. Godwin got three tallies one day. You can't talk in the hall. I didn't like it. I enjoy going into the classes and watching the children as they stand. Anytime an adult walks in the class, the classroom, the children stand and respect. And I like that. One of our classrooms has the ballroom beside it, and to get to the ballroom, you have to go through the classroom. And one day, a plumber came to work in the boiler room. He walked in the class, and all the kids jumped up, scared the fellow out of 3 years' growth. But I thank God for Hammond Baptist Grade School. No one could be more grateful than I. I thank God for the high school. I'll be quite frank with you. In the next 2 weeks, we will have sold Hammond Baptist High School building. And I hate the people that are buying it from me. I hate anybody that buys that building. Of course, I'm just kidding, but it's a very sacred place. And I hate to leave it. Every time I go out there, I cry, looking at our kids. I say, oh, brother, what a failure I've been. And I cry. But every time I go to the school, I rejoice. And I thank God for the Hammond Baptist High School. To me, I've never seen any school become a unit as quickly as did the Hammond Baptist High School. I thank God for our bus ministry. That big building over there on Sheffield Street, and over 100 buses. To me, one of the funniest things ever told is what they're telling about Dr. John Rawlins and us. Said, did you hear Dr. John Rawlins has a bus ministry about the size of ours, maybe a little larger. And he goes far and near to gather his prospects, and we go far and near to gather ours. And around the country, the rumor has it that one of his Sunday school buses collided with one of our Sunday school buses in Georgia. But I thank God for the bus ministry. I thank God for the rescue mission and the work there. I never drive by at night, late at night. I thank God that there's a place where men who've gone into sin can sleep, eat, hear the gospel taught or preached once a day and the Bible taught once a day. I thank God for the rescue mission. I thank God for our radio ministry. Now almost 70 stations across the country, Let's Go Soul Winning is heard. I'm excited about Baptist City. Man alive. Nothing like it in the world, as far as I know. The buildings are going up, and the college building is, within just a couple of weeks of being completed. The furniture for the dormitory is being ordered. Dormitories are going up. The gymnasium is going to be something tremendous. It'll be, I have a basket on each end and all them things. I mean, it's just going to be just like they have downtown, you know. I mean, it's going to be something. And I rejoice in all the work here. Now, you know what the secret is? Huh? The secret, and I've just called a few of our ministers here, but the secret is the old church has got to stay healthy. It's got to. If the church goes, the grade school goes. The church goes, the high school goes. Church goes, Baptist City goes. If the church goes, the mission goes. If the church goes, the bus ministry goes. The foundation of every phase of our church program is right here on this corner. We've got to keep a healthy church. This is all of it. All of it. Now here in the book of Revelation, we'll not turn to it again, but in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, we have letters written to seven churches. All of these churches had good starts. Each of the churches had an evangelistic, fervent, Bible beginning. Six of the churches changed. The church, for example, at Ephesus lost its first love. The church at Pergamos became worldly. The church at Smyrna received unregenerate church members. The church at Thyatira lost its separatist position. The church at Sardis became active but dead. The church at Laodicea decided to please the people. And only the church at Philadelphia remained what it always was. Only one church of seven didn't change. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a natural transition that comes to all institutions where people operate them. You check the world, the nations of the world. You check, watch England, Canada, the United States change one after the other, like dominoes going down, lined up one after the other. Look at the kingdoms of this world and watch their deterioration. And you'll find that Satan has no new methods. Somebody the other day said to me, he said, we're having trouble in our church. And I said, now this is what's happened. I said, don't tell me. I said, it's the same old story everywhere. The devil does the same thing everywhere. Somebody says the preacher's the dictator. Somebody spreads the word about it, around about the preacher, trying to run the business. And before you know it, you got some factions. And one fellow says the preacher shouldn't preach like he should preach. We ought to get out earlier on Sunday morning, here Sunday afternoon. And all across the country, people ask me, said, what do your folks think about getting out 12:30 and 12:45? And I say, I don't know. I haven't asked them. What did anyone ask you? What you thought about it while I was here? But I don't know. But I know this. I know that churches, you know, everything that is born dying. Everything. That little baby in the nursery tonight, the newest baby we have, is dying already. Now, what can we do? We can give the baby good food, exercise, proper rest, proper care, proper treatment, medical attention. Why? To prevent death? No, to postpone death. Death is inevitable. The thought processes, for example. That means something on me is dying. In your case, it's already dead. You keep them on all the time. But something is dying. That's why I place my hair. I don't comb my hair anymore. I place it. I only have three hairs. Each is 8 feet long. I'm a hippie, really. You just don't know it. And I weave them together. Don't laugh at me, Howard Paradise. You ain't got nothing to weave. But something is dying up there. That's why when I drink a cold glass, when I brush my teeth, that's why I gargle with medium water now, not cold water. You know why? Something is dying. Every person in this room tonight is dying. Now then, the length of your life depends on how much you fight the inevitable death. I'm going to make a statement. The day will come when the Hiles Anderson College will be liberal. The day will come when this Bible is not believed in Hiles Anderson College, if the Lord tarries. The day will come when the virgin birth will be laughed at as being unscholarly. Well, you say, why start a college if it's going to die and become liberal? Why have a baby if it's going to die? Every major Protestant, end quote, denomination in this world started off aflame for Christ and has gone the same path. Now, death is inevitable. Duration of life is dependent upon how hard you fight. Postpone that which is inevitable. Now, the Church of Philadelphia, about the same age, the Church of Laodicea, they're located in the same general area, Philadelphia, Ephesus, Laodicea, and these are churches in Asia Minor, most of them located in the same general area, geographically. All about the same age. The Church of Philadelphia, it's dead tonight. It did not live forever, but the Church of Philadelphia was still alive, still pleasing to God, whereas six of the churches lost, each lost its former position and had drifted away and left the blessings, lost the blessings of God. Now, How did the church in Philadelphia keep from changing? I want to find out, don't you? Don't you want this church to be, when your children are grown and your grandchildren are sitting in these pews, don't you want there to be a church like we know this church tonight here on this corner? Don't you hope that 100 years from tonight, there's still on this corner some faithful man of God who believes all the Bible, preaches it all? Wouldn't that be a wonderful, blessed thing? Now, there can be. I say the day will come when this church will turn. The day will come when the college will be liberal. But we can put it off and put it off. Now, how did the church of Philadelphia? She faced all the temptations. Don't you think she faced the temptation to lose her first love? I think so. Don't you think she faced the temptation to be worldly? I think so. Don't you think she faced the temptation to receive unregenerate church members? I think so. Don't you think she received the temptation to lose her separatist position? I think so. Don't you think she had the temptation to be active but lose the breath of God? I think so. Don't you think she had the temptation to please people and become popular in the neighborhood? I think so. But somehow or other, the church at Philadelphia resisted the onslaught and resisted the attacks of the devil, and she stayed while others changed. Now, how did she do it? You'll find it in one little word. One little word. The Lord said twice. And by the way, this word is not used to any other church of the seven. It's spelled K-E-P-T. Kept. Kept. Thou hast kept my word. Now the word kept is the word that means, actually it was used in Acts chapter 12 about the guard who guarded Peter while he was in prison. It was used in Acts chapter 16 concerning the guard who guarded the Apostle Paul and Silas, while they were in prison at Philippi. It means that with the same care, won't you recall that guard when the earthquake came and the prison doors broke and Paul and Silas were free and the guard decided to kill himself? Why? He had rather die than lose his prisoners. It was to his charge to keep those men, to guard those men, and he had rather kill himself than lose it. Now, the church at Philadelphia had that same diligent keeping process that the guard had. The church at Philadelphia said, we're going to guard what we have. We're going to guard it like a prison guard would guard a prisoner. We're going to walk guard around what we have. Now then, that's the way the First Baptist Church or any other church can keep from changing. Brother, death is a natural thing. It takes care and going upstream to have life. Now, the school cannot substitute for our church. Did you hear what I said? The school. We will not. When I talk like this, I do not mean to be quite as authoritative as I sound, except there are some things that I'm going to bow my neck on. I don't care if the whole administration, the whole faculty, everybody else doesn't like it. There are a few things I'm going to bow my neck on. And one thing is, the school is not going to wag the church. The church is going to wag the school. The school will not be the foundation for the church. The church will be the foundation for the school. Our students will not substitute their school activities for church activities. It's a dangerous thing, parents, when you say, well, my children have a Christian school to attend now. They don't need to go to church activities. You make the mistake of your life. Listen to me. There is not a school in this world, not the Hammond Baptist Grade School, not the Hammond Baptist High School, not Hiles Anderson College, not Bob Jones University, not Tennessee Temple, not Baptist Bible College, not Maranatha Baptist Bible College. There's not a school in this world that can substitute for 1 minute for the local New Testament Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a one. That's one reason why the faculty members of our schools will attend our services. And they'll be a part of our church. The school will be a part, an arm, a part of the church. And by the way, guess who's going to walk guard all the time to see that it's that way? You're looking at the old guard himself. I'm going to walk guard. And already I'm doing some things. I'm going to be the peskiest guard you ever saw in your life. For example, I'm going to walk guard around myself. I'm proud of me. Only in one area. I have done a beautiful job of keeping my nose out of most of the business at the schools. Beautiful job. I only went to the high school 5 times last year. Only 5 times. Now, I know what's going on, girls. I know what's going on. Everything that goes, that the major change, it comes across my desk, and I keep account of what's going on. But I am going to walk guard around Brother Hiles. I intend to pastor a First Baptist Church at Hammond, not vice president or president of Hiles Anderson College. Now, I intend to be the pest of the president and so forth. But I, for example, I've already decided, Dr. Evans, that I'm not going to have an office at the college. There's one out there for me, and Dr. Billings and I thought perhaps I should have one at the college. I've already decided that I'm not going to have an office at the college. I'm going to keep my office here at the church. I promised you the two things you'd keep, you could keep as you built a school. One, you'd keep the building here, and the other, you can keep me. We ain't much, but we're all you got. And I promise you keep the buildings, and you could keep me. Now, I'm going to see to it that I don't become just an educator, because I want to be a preacher. God called me to preach, and I want to be a preacher, and I plan to keep on preaching. I'm going to teach a class at the college, but my life is going to be the pastor of this church, and so I'm going to walk guard around myself, my building. Did you ever stop to think, and Dr. Evans maybe can correct me here, but I don't think I'll stand corrected. As far as I know, this is the only church in America who has built a church-owned college with a campus apart from the church property. Now, there may be another. I don't know of any other. To my knowledge, all the churches in our country that have started colleges have had the colleges on the church property. Now, you know why we're doing that. I want this to be your church. I don't want to trade my people for a college. I don't want to trade my people for a high school. What I'd like to do is add a high school to my people and add a college to my people. But the day ever comes and I have to choose between the college or the church, I'll choose the church like that. Why? I'm a pastor. I'm the preacher. As old Dr. Bishop S.C. Johnson used to say, he's a Negro preacher out in Philadelphia, a false prophet, but he was interesting. I used to listen to him on the radio. And I've heard him say, Old Testament had Elijah, and you in the New Testament had John the Baptist. You got me. And I used to hear him say, it's if you'll send me a dollar, we'll send you a book about our movement. If you'll send me $2, we'll send you the picture of our movement. If you'll send me $5, we'll send you the book and the picture of our movement. If you'll send me $10, you can have the movement. And so the Old Testament had Elijah, the New Testament had John the Baptist, and you've got Hiles. Whatever I am, I plan to walk guard around myself. I want to see to it that the First Baptist Church of Hammond, 5 years from tonight, is what she is tonight and more. I'm going to walk guard, and I'm going to be preaching and warning and exhorting and warning and preaching and saying, let's watch it. Let's don't throw out the baby with the wash. Let's don't lose the thing that's built on this corner, what we have. And so I plan to walk guard around it. Now that means that we must keep the church strong. That means that we're not to substitute work at the schools for work at the church. You're not to give up anything, not a thing. If you cannot keep your job at the school, at the church, and work at a school, then stay at the church. That means we're supposed to give to the church. A dime given to the school, listen to me, a dime given to the school that was given to the church will not be pleasing to God. A tithe given to the school that was going to the church will not be pleasing to God. You say, well, you're trying to fight the school. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I'm trying to keep a church strong enough here so we can have a school. If we don't have this church as virile and as strong as she is tonight, we won't have a school very long. I know many schools that have started, and the church has gone down and the school decayed. There's got to be a church to keep the school in line. There's got to be a church to keep the foundation for the school and for the bus ministry and for the rescue mission. And the church at Philadelphia kept. They guarded. They ought to see it. They have been a pretty good church, but they didn't all the time guard what they had. Smyrna may have been a good church, but she didn't all the time guard what she had. Pergamos may have been a pretty good church at first, as was Thyatira and Ephesus and others, but they did not guard what they had. Girls, be still in the front row. And consequently, we at First Baptist Church can follow the Lion of Ephesus or the Lion of Thyatira, or the Lion of Smyrna or Sardis or Laodicea or Pergamos
Or we can follow the Lion of Philadelphia and say, we will guard ourselves day and night to keep what we have on this corner tonight.
Now then, let's look at them very briefly. Ephesus forgot to guard her first love. And she lost it. She lost it. What is the first love? The Bible said, you have left your first love, said repent and do thy first works. What's the first work of a Christian? Telling somebody else about the Savior. That's the first thing.
Don't you recall that woman at the well at Sychar? When she received the Savior, she ran to Sychar and said to the men with whom she had been in sin, come, see a man that told me all things I ever did. The first thing a new Christian wants to do, if it's sincere and genuine, the first thing he wants to do is go tell somebody else about his newfound faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now then, the day came when Ephesus, Ephesus still believed the Bible. Ephesus still hated sin. Ephesus still had a regenerate church membership, but she was dead. She had lost her first love. I want to make a statement, and I've made this in one of my books. Listen carefully to this. The first time, I think I told somebody this today. Today? Yeah, today. The first time you take a trip, you enjoy it because of pleasure. The second time you take the same trip, you enjoy it because of character. It's easy to come to First Baptist Church. You haven't seen anybody. A fellow told me this morning he had never seen baptism in a church like we had it this morning. He had pastored two churches, had never baptized a convert in the two churches he pastored. He had converts, but never baptized them. And it's easy to come, girls, to the First Baptist Church of Hammond at first time on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and see these altars filled and see folks baptized and say, boy, I like that! But wait a minute. After 5 years, it's easy to check your watch about 12:30 on Sunday morning and see if it's still ticking. Now, let me say again. Anybody can enjoy a trip the first time. It takes character to enjoy a trip the second time. A person has to have enough character to say, I'm going to enjoy it, and I enjoyed it before, and I'm going to remember how I did it before, and I'm going to do what I did before, and I'm going to stop and realize how wonderful the thing is that I'm doing. I know I've done it before. I know it's becoming old hat to me, but how wonderful it is, and how awful it would be if I had to lose it. Now then, we're going to have to always say we're not going to lose our first love. That's why, for example, the students are going to go soul winning at Hiles Anderson College. In 5 years, we're going to cover every house in Chicago with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Dr. Billings and others of us have met, and we've decided that every professor in our college and every teacher in our high school and every teacher in our grade schools, everybody who teaches, is going to have to go soul winning once a week if he continues teaching in our school. We're not going to have any dead PhDs. We're not going to have any people who teach theology, but don't spread theology and spread the Bible and get people saved. Now, let me say this. We're going to have a soul-winning college, faculty, student body. We're going to have a soul-winning church. We're going to see to it that we do not lose our first love. This church has been built on soul-winning. You know that's true. And we're going to see to it that it continues. We're going to guard it, keep it carefully, rigidly. By the way, here's the great danger. Did you know a church like this, you can get to where you depend on the machinery? You get to where you come to church on Sunday morning and you say, oh, sure, we got a lot of folks saved this morning. Why? Well, it's because. Well, why? Well, it's First Baptist. Well, why? Well, it's just, we always do. No, we don't always do either. And we won't always have conversions unless we as individuals stay on the job. Stay on the job. Stay on the job. Listen, anybody can have a bus route for a year or two. Anybody. While the thrill is there and the newness is there. It takes character to keep one going year after year. And 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 15 years. It takes character. We have people all over this room tonight that took and had a bus route for a few years. But we have some people that have had one since we started. We have some people that don't have to have something new all the time to keep them going. We have some people that do it because they're supposed to do it, and do it because character makes them do it, and do it because obedience makes them do it. And let me say, ladies and gentlemen, don't you think for a single second that God owes for young girls in the front, you sit still while I'm preaching. Look at me the rest of the service. By the way, I intend to keep doing that too through the years. And so you say, that always bothers me. Well, it's always going to bother you then. Listen to me. You stay great, pardon me, you stay successful the way you got successful. It's so easy for a big church. A church gets big and the crowds begin to come. And before you know it, you have a few influential members. Like Houston Gay runs a big store over here on State Street. He employs two people. And the other one's been off for a few years. But you get it. You get, we got a big crowd, and we got some doctors here. Dr. Evans and Dr. Billings and you, Brother Graham, are you a doctor? Bless you. Nurse? Technician? Let me say this. The First Baptist Church, we will stay what we've been, or we'll burn the school. Mark it down. We're not going to change. Don't get your hopes up. No, old Hiles is still going to be a hellfire and damnation preacher. Same old stuff, SOS. It's going to just keep on going. Say, just get ready for it. It's going to be dished out. Like the army, you know. Hold your tray and they throw it out at you. Same old stuff. We're not going to change. No, sir. You know why? Because we've come too far this direction to change. We've seen it'll work. We've seen what God can do. And so on this corner, I want there to be a church like this church is tonight. I want there to be one as long, no matter what they do, as long as there be a church here and as long as we're here, we're going to guard it and keep it to see to it it's what it is tonight. I was asked, Terry Smith, one of our fine boys, pastor of the church in Longview, Texas. I have a standing deal that I don't take invitations to a lot of places, but anytime one of my preacher boys wants me to come dedicate a building, if I've got the night open, I'll go. And I don't care how little the church, how far out of the way it is. Well, Terry Smith wrote and said, Pastor, would you come and dedicate a new building for us? And I caught a plane, flew to Dallas, Texas, rented a car, drove 100 miles down to Longview, Texas, 20 miles from where I went to college. And some folks were there that I pastored 25 years ago. 25 years ago. And they'd changed a bit. I hadn't changed. Just looked just like I did. But anyway, they had changed a bit. And I preached that night. And as I walked out, I borrowed a car. It was a big Cadillac I borrowed. And it had a new suit on somebody had given me. And one of those old farmers down there said, man, look at that. Look at that car. He didn't know that I drove at the time a Renault Dauphine. He said, look at that suit. He didn't know the shirt had a hole in it, and his coat was covering up the hole. But I preached, and after I finished preaching just a few months ago now, as I walked out, I had to rush quickly. I didn't have time to shake hands. The plane left before about midnight, and I had to get in the car and drive back to Dallas. And I rushed out during the closing prayer, got to the back door, and one of the old farmers looked at the other, and he said, it's the same old Hiles. He's the same old Hiles. He didn't know I was there. He's the same old Hiles. You know, I'd rather have that than an honorary degree from Princeton University. Same old Hiles. Same old Hiles. And that's what I want our church to be. Listen, our church, the simple message and the simple service and the informality and the stand we've taken has built the greatest group of young people I know in the world today. And so we'll just keep the same old method. But there's the church at Ephesus lost its first love. The church at Smyrna got to where she took unregenerate church members. You know, Dr. Evans, some of the folks who applied for our school, maybe you don't know this. Did you know that the head of the Atomic Energy Department at Florida State University with an earned PhD applied to teach in our school? Did you know that the head of the Science Department at University of Minnesota applied to teach in our school? Our college. Yeah. Did you know that I had a man teaching at St. Joseph's College down here? A Jew, an Orthodox Jew, called me up and he said, so they teach in the college, please? And I said, no, but wanted to teach in our school. Now, let me say this, and I want our people to listen to me carefully now. Everybody who teaches, who's come here so far to teach in our school and to be a part of our school, everybody, they're our kind of people. And that's the only kind we plan to hire. We're not going to forfeit one thing for a PhD. Not one thing. Not a thing. Now, if we can get a PhD that is our kind of people, then we'll take him. You see, but we won't forfeit a thing.
Smyrna got unregenerate church members, and Philadelphia guarded, and Philadelphia preached the regenerate church membership, and stayed on the new birth, and emphasized the new birth.
Smyrna decided that she wouldn't. Before she knew it, began to creep in the church, those who were not born again. Man walked down this aisle, head of one of the biggest business enterprises in this town, what's been several years ago now, walked down this aisle, and he said, I want to move my membership. And I said, where from? He told me. I said, are you saved? He said, well, I think I am. He said, now the reason I'm joining the church is because my company says we ought to join the biggest church in the town. And he said, I'm joining the First Baptist Church because it's the biggest church in the city, and I feel we'll get more customers, and I want you to know that I'm a man of some means, and you'll forgive me, and he'll forgive me maybe, I don't know. But I said, go back to your seat. He said, what do you mean? I said, go back to your seat. He said, do I get in? I said, you don't get in. He said, when? And he said, my company tells me, what's my company going to do? I said, fire you as far as I'm concerned, but nobody's going to join this church for a dollar. Nobody. We're going to, these folks that come down the aisle to join our church for transfer membership. I mean the folks who come down, the Grahams and others. I say, do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? Remember the first time I visited you, Elaine? You've been starving about it, I think, that time and time. And you and Jenny were together. And I walked in, and you were a teacher in the first grade, and you grew up inside the organ console down at the church and so forth. And they were startled that I'd said, do you know you're saved? 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 And because Smyrna did not guard her membership. And let me say, ladies and gentlemen, thundering from this pulpit, as long as there be a church here, as long as I'm pastor here, school, no school, high school, no school, culture, no culture, refinement, no refinement, degrees, no degrees, PhDs, no PhDs, thundering from this pulpit will be one great message. Ye must be born again. No other way to get to heaven. None. And there'll be, you say, well, that sounds sort of crude, then we'll be crude. Sounds uncouth, then we'll be uncouth. We're not here, never have been here to please Hammond. We've been here to convert Hammond. And so we'll not make the mistake of the church at Smyrna. If God will help us, we'll guard it carefully to be sure that everybody who walks these aisles gets the message of salvation. That's why our deacons pray with unsaved people. That's why folks come down the aisle and want to receive Christ, and I say, deacon, pray with this one, deacon, pray with this one. Why? We want them to know what salvation's plan is and honestly and genuinely receive Christ by faith. Church at Pergamos got worldly. You know, it's a little harder to preach on cigarettes. At the seminary in Kansas City where I delivered some lectures recently, and it is to do it in a tent. In Georgia. Do you know that? Nothing wrong with Georgia. In fact, there's something right with Georgia. I don't know what it is, but there's bound to be something. But I, one of the things I face more than anything else, they asked me to preach the series of, bring the series of Rice lectures. That's not John Rice, but a Nazarene leader named Rice, tremendous fellow. They asked me to bring the lectures on the series of lectures on the Christian Education Week at the seminary in Kansas City. Please listen while I preach. And so, I preach. But as you know, it doesn't matter how hard I try to lecture, it comes out preaching. And I resolved that I was going to, this is what I was going to do. Mr. President, administration, faculty, choir, members of student body, and honored guests. Our first lecture, you know, it just doesn't come out that way for me. Huh? I'd trip on the way up. You know, we had a revival at that seminary. We did. We had a revival breakout. You know how we had a revival breakout? Because I tried to be just Ohio's. You see, I'm simply saying that the church at Pergamos, you know what's wrong? You will, before you know it, you will turn to sin if you don't keep sin exceeding sinful. I'm not going to get to the place to where I say, we at First Baptist Church look with disfavor on the movies.
No, sir. I'm going to say that dirty Hollywood crowd sending our nation to hell. I'm going to say, young people, stay out of movie houses. Stay out of them. Stay away from the Hollywood crowd. Stay away from the adulterous, perverted kind of sinful crowd. And turn your television off when one comes on. And we'll just keep on like that.
Peace of the house. Is that going to sound scholarly with a cottage just a few miles away?
Yes, it's going to sound scholarly because they'll get the same thing on chapel in the cottage.
I'm simply saying this. Now, you hear me and you hear me well, and the best thing for us to do is have an understanding. We're not going to change First Baptist Church one bit.
Not a bit.
Not a bit. Not a bit. I want you folks to know, members of our church, and of course, I say this, East of the House, are you afraid that...
No, sir, I'm not afraid of anything.
Every person we have on our faculty administration right now is right down the line what I'm preaching tonight.
That's the kind of folks we get.
They haven't learned to say amen yet, but they're, other than that, they're pretty good people. And you wait till you get up there in front of the student body sometime and somebody's done something wrong and you get up and you say, you're going to straighten up! And I'm going to say, I'll get you back. Your day is coming, brethren. Oh, my. What am I saying? I'm simply saying that the First Baptist Church in Hammond, India, if dancing was wrong before we started the school, dancing's wrong after we start the school. And if drinking was wrong before we put up our sign, drinking's still wrong. And by the way, if it's a good idea to make sin exceedingly sinful before, it's a good idea to make sin exceedingly afterward. And so sin will always be exceeding sinful. Not just sinful, but exceeding sinful. And we'll try not to make the mistake of Pergamos. We're too old to change. Then there's a fourth church that made a mistake, and that's the church at Thyatira. She lost her separatist position. You know, let me tell you something. I guess the hardest thing I face is this thing right here, the separatist position. The average layman doesn't understand that all churches aren't good. The average layman can't understand that they're communist in the pulpits of some churches in Hammond, Indiana. The average layman can't understand that they're preachers and, I mean, pastors in churches. I suppose they're preaching right now, but they don't have Sunday night services. But they're pastors in Hammond right now. They don't believe the Bible's the Word of God. They don't believe in the virgin birth of the deity of Christ. Yeah, they're all over this area. Yeah, the average person can't understand that. You know, one of the hardest things I do, you folks who know me personally, you know that I'm friendly. I speak to people. Where I came from, every time you met anybody on the street, you waved at them. And every time a car passed by your house, you waved at it. Both of them a month, you waved at them as they passed by. And I haven't gotten used yet to not speaking to folks. One of the first things that happened to me in this area, I was going to the hospital, St. Margaret, 6 o'clock in the morning. Drove down Ridge Road in Munster. I was going down Ridge Road to Holman to come right on Holman to come to St. Margaret's Hospital. And it was early in the morning, and I met a car, and I waved at the car. Always had. And the fella pulled over side of the road, backed up, and he said, "Something wrong?" I said, "No, sir, something's right." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm saved." "From what?" I said, "From sin." He said, what are you waving me down for? What are you flagging me down?" I said, "I'm not flagging you down. I'm just waving at you. I'm saying good morning." He said, "In some other way you can say it." No. I walked down to St. Margaret's Hospital early one morning. First got here, fellow had his collar pulled up like this. We used to call them golf caps. His golf cap on. "Do what I'm doing now. Show the death what I'm doing. Put your coat up like I got mine up." And so had a golf cap. And I walked down. And I said, "Good morning, how are you?" He said, "Perfectly miserable." Now, you'll forgive me, but I believe in being friendly, even to folks that don't like me. And where I trade, I'm friendly. You go down where I buy my clothes, for example. When I walk in, all the salesmen come over and say, "Hello, Reverend. Hey, Reverend, how you doing?" I say, "You got anything worth buying?" "Hey, we better know we got something worth buying." I say, "It's cheap enough for a man that's not a capitalist can afford it." And we're friendly. One of the hardest things I do is when they come to visit our church sometime and find out what I'm really like. Huh? That's not easy, really. That's not easy. You know, it's a temptation to compromise sometimes. You know, they can't... For example, a fellow today said, "Reverend!" He said, "You're so nice." He said, "We have a club at our Catholic church. We meet occasionally, just have a few drinks.
He said, you know, we'd like you to come over and speak to our club.
No, he wouldn't. Oh, much learning has made him mad. But no, he wouldn't either. But
what am I saying? I mean, really, I try to be courteous.
Now listen to me while I'm preaching. The couple back here, you've talked enough for one night. I try to be nice at first. I'm not going to be nice after a while. You behave when you're here. It's just as bad for adults to talk as it is for teenagers to misbehave. I'm not going to do it here. Now, I don't want to be unkind, but I'm going to be. The folks behind you have a right to listen and hear and know what's going on. And they're going to. By the way, that's going to keep on going, too. Now, I'm simply saying, you say, well, you're rude. No, I'm trying to keep you from being rude. You're the one that's uncouth and rude. But then the people come to our church, and they hear me say, you've got to get born again. The priest can't do it, and the Pope can't do it, and the Eucharist can't do it, and the Sabbath keeping can't do it, and the confirmation can't do it. You've got to get born again. And when I preach like that, people that I see in business world and people that are with whom I trade, I don't like to make them mad. Of course I don't. But brother, unless you're willing to, our church will not be what it's been. It won't be it. I'm simply saying there has been for 13 years a stink on this building. Folks have hated us. They've called us fools. I don't like it, and I don't enjoy it. But I've learned a few things about how to get God's blessings on work. And brother, you can't please the people in doing it. You can't do it. So the church had started, got active. And they had a lot of programs and a lot going on, but they lost it. They lost it. I know what happens. I go to too many churches. I don't know whether I told you this. I think I have years ago. This is what I'm saying. I was in Garland, Texas, pastoring, and Dr. John Rice had me and Dr. Beecham Vick and Dr. Bob Jones and himself. And we preached in Chicago. One Wednesday night, I preached at a large, rather large church building in Chicago. It used to be a great church. At that time, it had become just a shadow of what it used to be. That Wednesday night, I preached, and it was so dark. I hate dark buildings with a passion. When I first came to First Baptist, the first thing we did was put some lights in the balcony. I preached in this church over in the downtown section of Chicago. It had a circular balcony all the way around. I guess it seats 1,000 or 1,200 people. Just a handful were there. And I tried to stir up some enthusiasm, and I couldn't. And I tried to get something going, and I couldn't. And finally, I just cut loose and preached. And way back under the balcony, way, way back, under the, in the darkest spot, I couldn't even see what he looked like. Nobody had said a thing. Nobody had laughed. Nobody had cried. Nobody had said amen. Nobody had, well, you could tell everybody was mad. And finally, way back in the back, under the balcony, a shriek came out. Amen! 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 Well, he made up for the whole evening's loss, all at one time. I mean, it averaged out pretty good service. Scared me to death. Literally scared me to death. You think it scared me? We had 14 folks had a stroke, 3 had a heart attack. That's all we had in the crowd. But really, it was something. And he just, amen, 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 amen. And boy, I couldn't even see who it was. After the service, I shaking hands with folks who came down to shake my hand. In other words, I was doing like this. And so looked down, a little bitty fellow about that tall, had a looked like a briefcase in his hand. He was a Filipino. About that tall, eyes score squinted. He looked up at me and he said, amen, 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 amen. And I said, were you the one? He said, amen, amen. And I said, who are you? And great big old tears began to roll down his cheeks. He said, I'm the custodian. 38 years, I think he said. 38 years, I've been custodian here. And then he broke down and he said, Pastor, he said, the way you preach tonight is the way we used to have it.
He said, see these balconies? They used to be filled every Sunday morning and Sunday night.
He said, see this lower floor? Folks used to fight for seats on this lower floor.
I said, how is it now? He said, the balcony's never used, and he wiped tears from his cheeks. And he said, I've been custodian here all these years. He said, we used to have preaching like that, but no more. He said, the altar's never used. The breath of God is never here. And he said, oh, the memories, the memories, the memories, the memories.
And then he got a fiendish look in his eye. He said, you know what this is I'm carrying? I said, what? He says, a tape recorder. He said, I've heard my pastor preach his last sermon. He said, I'm going to get the building all clean, get it comfortable, and next Sunday morning while he's preaching, I'm going to go in the study and turn you on, hear you again. And he said, Sunday night I'm going to do the same thing. He said, I've heard my preacher preach his last sermon.
Where's our custodian tonight?
Did you know that's happened all across this country? You know why?
Because somewhere, some preacher decided just to put it in the minute that the church hated sin. And he should have put it in the sermon. Somebody got the idea, a little bit old-fashioned, stomp, beat the pulpit. Somebody got the idea that it was a little bit crude to stand up and say, you got to get born again.
Somebody decided that sin wouldn't be exceeding sinful. That's the way churches change. That's the way they change. They change little by little. Don't you recall over in the Old Testament days, in the book of Proverbs, it says two or three times, remove not the ancient landmarks which our fathers have set. They had between each bit of property, that songbook there, between each bit of property, here, thank you, a landmark. And that landmark was the only thing they had to divide the property. Let's suppose that this is your property over here for the perky and this is mine over here. Suppose I want to usurp your property. I wouldn't walk up and say, and move the landmark and get myself more property. Here's the way I'd do it. I'd say, Mr. Perky, how are you this morning? Nice to see you. How's the wife and family? Boy, that's a new coat, isn't it? Hey, boy, isn't that a beautiful thing? There, huh? And nice choir here. You see? Now, that's the way the landmark got moved. Slowly, but surely, and positively, the landmark was moved. As slow as the hands on a clock. Nobody could tell it. Funny thing, you go to these churches that have changed and nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. How's everything? Fine, fine. Nobody knows it. Just like you can't see the hand moving on a clock. And that means if this church is what she is tonight, out yonder in the future, we're going to have to guard it all the time. All the time. Ask your question. Does it prick you a little bit more than it used to when the preacher stops and calls somebody down? Are you just as anxious to stay or as happy to stay, desirous to stay till 12:45 or 1 as you used to be? Do you ever say, I wish the preacher wouldn't, doesn't he have any other sermons? Does he just have to harp on long hair all the time? No, I could pull it some. Isn't there anything besides miniskirts that's wrong? You know what you're doing?